This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, teaching what the Bible is telling us are the best practices when it comes to handling money. Our ministries are here to show you how to reduce all the debt that you've accumulated, no matter how small or how big the debt may be. And there's no secret to what we do. It's all written in the Bible. And we use those biblical principles to get you where you have no debt. In fact, we're going to show you how you can continue to live a debt-free life. Read more by going to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible studies, and I'm referring to the first Bible study that you come to called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. John and Evelyn Bean, who are the co-founders of Compass Catholic, join me today, and our topic is what you need to know when buying a car. But before we get into that, John, your experience working with individuals and couples over these many years, when it comes to discussing their finances, where does a car loan fall when it comes to a discussion on their debt?
Probably the largest debt that most people have is for their transportation, their car or cars, plural. 70% of all the cars that are on the highway today are financed. Doesn't that seem strange?
It seems like a lot of money floating down the road.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
You know, I would think that those car payments are one of the biggest roadblocks, no pun intended, to people being financially free, because a lot of people just never get out of those car payments. You know, as soon as a car is paid off, it's time to buy a new car.
Yes.
And if you're constantly spending $300, $400, $500 a month for car payments, that's a lot of money.
Well, and you know, the other thing is that unlike a house, which typically, not 100% as we found in 2008, but most times a house appreciates in value, so you're getting more even as you're paying, and there's a bigger difference between what you owe and what the value is. A car goes the other direction. In fact, as soon as you drive it off the lot, essentially it's only going to be worth 80%. You're going to lose 20% when you drive it off the lot.
So is that where the term upside down on a car loan comes from?
That's one of the ways that it happens. You're right.
So that means you owe more than it's worth.
You owe more than it's worth.
So if for some reason you had to sell that car today, you couldn't even get enough money out of it to pay your loan off.
If you bought it yesterday, you'd had trouble.
Wow.
You'd have trouble. Yeah.
So what do you consider when you're trying to figure out how to replace a car, if you need a replacement car? What do you have to think about?
Well, I think you have to consider, do you want to buy a new car? Do you want to lease a car? Or do you want to buy a used car?
You know, I remember years ago when we replaced one of our cars and we went to the car dealer and we were trying to compare leasing versus buying. They just looked at us like we had three heads. And they told us we couldn't do that. We couldn't compare leasing versus buying. And they were just giving us a really hard time because they said, you can't compare leasing versus buying because it's different. And it is different, but you can compare the amount of money that's coming out of your pocket on both of those deals.
Absolutely.
And that's what you should
Absolutely.
Be doing.
Absolutely. And you know, that was long enough ago that the lease payments were so convoluted. The leasing contract was so convoluted that
you probably couldn't compare it.
You know, nobody could make sense of it anyway. And fortunately, we didn't lease that car. We bought it.
The salesman probably didn't know how to tell us.
It was a used car because it was coming off of a lease.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what the considerations are. And, you know, if you're going to replace a car, let's talk about a new car, first of all. And the average price of a new car loan is $33,000.
So that's the loan. That means after you take out your trade-in and after you take out your down payment, you still owe $33,000.
Right. So that car is probably costing anywhere $35,000 to maybe $38,000, $40,000.
I believe that's more than we paid for our first house.
There is absolutely no question about it. Actually, I think when we sold our first house after 22 months, we only got $1,000 more than that.
So what does that mean as far as the average monthly car payment? What does that calculate?
Well, the average monthly car payment is just over $500 per month.
And that's over how many months?
Well, it's about right now the average loan amount time frame is about 66 months. So just shy of 6 years.
Wow.
Five and a half years.
Wow.
That's a long time to be paying for a car. But, you know, in Navigating Your Finances God's Way, which is our Bible study, we suggest that the average expenditures for all transportation costs should be between 10 and 15%. So only half of that should be the car payment.
And what's the other half?
The other half are the operating expenses, gas, oil, tires, maintenance, those kinds of things.
Insurance.
Insurance, yeah.
Tolls.
That all that stuff comes in under transportation costs. So if you were to break those numbers down, you know, half of 15% is 7, roughly, just to make it an even number, even though that's an odd number. As 7% of the total income, as 7% of your total income, that means your net income, not your gross income, but your net spendable income should be $86,000.
Wait, let me get this right. So if we follow the guidelines and we have a $500 car payment, then we need to be having a net spendable income, which is after all the deductions mm-hmm. and giving,
yes.
of $86,000 in order to be able to afford a $500
right.
a month car payment.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
And let me explain how I got to that. You know, if $500 equals the 7%, and 7% times 86,000 is 6,020, and you divide that by 12 because you're making monthly payments, it comes out to $502. And that's only for one car payment.
If a family has two car payments.
Yeah, if a husband and a wife both have new cars, they're either making money out the wazoo or...
They're in over their heads.
They've overspent. That's true. That's true. And
talk a little bit about depreciation, because you were talking before about being upside down on cars and cars losing their value.
Well, when you drive that $33,000 loan value car off the lot, it's going to take a hit of about 20%. So that means when you drive away, you get that car home, it's only worth $26,400 now.
But that doesn't really matter unless I'm planning on buying the car or selling the car or trading it in, right?
That's correct. And, you know, the big thing is it drops 20% right away and maybe another 10% by the end of the first year. And then at 3 years, it's going to be worth 50%. That's pretty much the average of all cars. After 3 years, they're worth 50% of the new value.
So there's got to be some advantages to buying a new car. What are the advantages to buying a new car?
Well, it depends on how you look at it, but I tried to be rational when I wrote this down. But, you know, there's probably very few maintenance issues because you're under warranty.
Okay, that sounds good.
That's good. It smells good.
Well, I can spray a bunch of stuff in the car to make an old car smell good, too.
For about $1.98, I think. Yeah, I agree with you. But some people, that, you know, that's a big deal. Probably it's going to get better gas mileage, although buying a new car and calculating the extra cost of a new car against whether you're paying $2.50 a gallon for gas or $3.50 a gallon for gas, you're going to have to buy an awful lot of gas to make up for what you spend in a new car. So that's not necessarily a good argument. So it's under warranty. I kind of mentioned that. And it might have all the bells and whistles that I want.
Wants versus needs again, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So these are all somewhat valid thoughts. And the trouble is that in most cases, they aren't significant enough to justify buying a new car. What are you going to do? What's the upside to buying a new car, Evelyn?
I own it when it's paid for. If I keep it longer than the loan payments, I can drive it as much as I want.
Yes.
I don't have to turn it in at the end of the lease.
Yes.
If I get a ding on it, I don't get penalized by the leasing company.
True.
And I can get all the modifications that I want, all the bells and whistles that you were talking about, right away and have them and enjoy them.
Yes. And the downside is after the warranty expires, you're going to have all the maintenance costs, and you've put a lot of money up front to buy that car. That's a new car. Let's talk for a minute about leasing a car. You know, about 30% of cars are leased. Why is that? In most cases, the monthly lease price is less than the purchase price monthly cost. That's a reason, people are buying lease cars. The warranty is going to be in effect the whole time I own the car, so there's going to be very few, if any, maintenance costs. I still get a new car, and, I don't have to worry about losing the depreciation of the value of the car, because that's all factored into the monthly payments and the down payments.
Well, and you don't own it, so you don't get hit with any depreciation the loan people do.
Exactly. So the upside there is lower monthly payments, a new car every 2 or 3 years, and some people just got to have a new car every 2 or 3 years, and probably no maintenance costs. So their transportation numbers are fairly well fixed.
But the transportation numbers are also never ending, because if you're leasing a car, every time one car comes off lease, you're leasing another car. So you're always paying that transportation cost.
You're always going to have a car payment if you're leasing cars.
Yep. And don't leased cars come with a mileage limitation?
Yes, they do. And that could be very significant, because some of the leases penalize you if you drive more than 10,000 miles.
Well, they also penalize you for excessive wear and tear on a car too, right?
Well, that's pretty much based on the mileage, unless, your dog's in there chewing up the inside of the car or something like that. But the mileage limitations depends on the lease. Could be 10,000, it could be 12,000. In some cases, it might be as much as 15,000. So you got to know how much you're going to be driving the car.
You're talking about miles, not dollars.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry. Did I confuse that?
No, you just said numbers and.
Oh, okay. Okay. Leasing, for some people it's a good thing, but for me, having a constant car payment forever and ever and ever, not so much.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, providing financial management tools. An example, on our website, compasscatholic.org, click on resources and you'll find 28 financial calculators. You'll find calculators that will help you compare loan options. There's even a calculator there that will save you interest payments. It's called Auto Loan Early Payoff Calculator. They're all free and available at compasscatholic.org. Click on resources. Well, today, John and Evelyn are discussing what you need to know when it's time to buy a car. So, John, let's get into a discussion about purchasing used.
If the average loan value of a new car is $33,000 and a three-year-old car is worth only 50% of the new car price, then it stands to reason a used car average price should be somewhere around $16,000-$17,000.
I'll tell you what, a loan for $16,000 sounds like a much better deal than a loan for $33,000.
Well, but even because it's so much smaller, it might be a situation where you could pay cash.
That's true. And that would be ideal.
If you were saving, that would be, yeah, if you were saving up for it. Today's vehicles are designed to run for many more miles than the model years of the past. The last car that we had that we traded, actually we didn't trade, it had 150,000 miles on it, was 10 years old, and we gave it to our son to use because his truck had almost 300,000 miles on it.
So he got a new car.
And it was 20 years old, and so, yeah, he got a new car.
And it's still running.
Yeah, I think most cars will go 200,000 miles pretty easily in today's world. They're just making them much better than what they used to.
So what's the upside of owning buying a used car?
Well, if you've got to finance it, the payments are going to be lower because you're financing a lower amount, and maybe you have no payments at all. you can afford more of a luxury car than if you were buying it new. In other words, you could get a really fancy car with all the bells and whistles. Now, it might not cost just 16, it might be 20, say, okay, or maybe even 25, depending on how old it is. And the older it is, the less you're going to have to pay for it.
And being an older car, somebody's already done the first few dents and dings for you, so they're not going to be quite as painful when you get some.
Absolutely. You know, the overall cost of operation should be lower because you spent a lot less money on the initial purchase price. You're still going to have repairs and stuff like that, and that's going to increase a little bit because the car's older. But because you spent so much less on it, it's going to be a better thing.
So the downside of buying a used car would be that there could be an increased cost for repairs and maintenance.
It could be. You might not have all the latest bells and whistles. And, you know, in the worst case scenario, you might be buying someone else's lemon.
Well, that brings up a point of really doing a lot of homework when you're buying a used car. And don't a lot of the companies today that sell used cars have a certified used car program?
Yes. Some of the dealers do. The manufacturers do. And so you can buy a certified used car. It's usually only 2 or 3 years old. It might have lower mileage. Typically, those cars are coming off of lease operations. They can still have some of the original warranty left, and they come with certifications from factory-trained mechanics, and that's important. That's a key phrase there, factory-trained mechanics, that cover from 150 to 180 different inspection points, depending on who the manufacturer was. And the reason I say that factory-trained mechanics is important is because there's some people out there, some of the car lots, that aren't associated with a manufacturer, and they will tell you they've got a certified used car, but, you know, you got to understand, how is it certified? A lot of those lots have their own certification process, which may or may not be good.
So it's Joe Blow walking in with a wrench, potentially.
Yeah. Oh, that car looks pretty good to me. I'll certify it.
So I would assume that a certified used car is going to be more expensive than just a regular used car, but it's probably worth the extra money.
According to what I've read on Edmunds and Consumer Reports and that kind of stuff, a certified used car might cost as much as $1,000 or $1,500 more than a equivalent car being sold by a private owner. If you're buying it from a private owner, you don't have the assurances of the certification process.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to figure out in your mind if that's worth it or not. Some people in the car business say you're better just sticking the $1,500 in your pocket and paying for repairs if you have them. And others say, well, just get it, and then you'll be assured. Now, we should admit that the last two cars that we've purchased, two out of three, have been certified used cars. The car we have right now that we just bought was a some kind of a lease or a dealer's salesman's car. It was only a year old. Actually, the last two cars were only a year old when we bought them. They both had about 5,000 or 6,000 miles on them. And the one lasted for 10 years. The other one we've only had for 1 year.
And
it's still running, yeah. And in between, we bought a car off a private owner who we knew. And it was his father's car who we knew.
Yeah, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah. If you can find something like that, that's always a pretty good way to go.
But if you're buying from a private owner, or whether you're buying from a used car lot, they should allow you, you should demand actually, that you can take it to your own mechanic to get a thorough once through.
Absolutely.
And if they deny that, walk away.
Bad news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then you got yourself a lemon.
You know, the problem I have with that is that most people today don't have their own mechanic.
Right, because they constantly are buying, so it's under warranty. They take it back to the dealership.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that can be an issue all by itself.
Well, ask some friends if they have a mechanic that they trust.
We've bought a couple of cars that were even actually from dealers, And it was back before they did they certified cars. We took them and had them inspected, and one car had been totaled, and the inspection didn't even reveal it. We found out about it about 8 years later after we'd already traded the car in on a different car, and we got a notice from the manufacturer saying, why are you still driving this car? It was totaled 6-8 years ago.
You know, it's interesting, John. We bought when our son bought a car, same thing, private owner, took it to the mechanic. What he did is he took the carpeting out of the trunk, and that's where he saw the car had been in a major accident.
That's why it's good to have those inspections.
Yep.
And there's things like Carfax today that most, not all, but most accidents get reported They see that, and so you can know what has happened to that car.
So in order to do that, you need the VIN number, right?
Yes, you do.
So you
and if the VIN number's not there, you got to walk away right away anyway.
But something like Carfax, I think it costs you a certain amount of money to get on, but it's probably worth it just to check out a car.
It might be $100 or something like
and
that.
And if you're a AAA member, they will do it too for a fee.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, okay, so we talked about leasing, buying new, and buying used. So what's the bottom line?
It depends, I think, is the bottom line. It just depends.
Is this, you can talk yourself into anything?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, some people are just, there is no way that they're ever going to buy a used car. It's going to be new or it's not going to be. And there's nothing you can do to talk them out of it.
So they're just going to suck up the depreciation and go on with life because they want a new car.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Now, and if you're going to keep the car for 10 or 15 years... buying a new car is not such a bad deal because, you know, if you amortize the cost of operation over 10 or 15 years, it's going to be very low because once you make the car payments go away because you paid it off, you know, then it's all you've got your operational costs. So,
but just think of how much more you could have if you bought a used car and drove it for the same amount of time. I think some people just get hung up on the whole the idea of a car gives me status versus a car is a way to get me from point A to point B.
Well, you have to consider that. Yeah.
You know, it's not transportation. It's the status of how important I am, how much money I have, how I look in the car, what color it is, and you know, all that kind of stuff.
It's like last fall, we went over to the Daytona International Speedway to a car show. And
this was to keep two kids busy. It wasn't because we were looking for cars.
Well, we had our two teenage grandsons who wanted to see all these souped up cars. But we ran across a man who had a...
I think it was a 1939.
39 pickup truck.
Yes.
Ford pickup, I think it was.
Yes.
And he was talking about he'd saved over $500,000 because that's the only vehicle he had ever purchased in his life.
Was still driving it?
Yeah.
He was still driving it.
I didn't want to sneeze because I was afraid the rust would blow away and the car would disappear because it didn't look like it had been touched since 1939. But God bless him. I mean, he gave the teenagers we were with a little lecture on saving money and being responsible and buying used cars and not getting caught up. And, you know, so I think they thought it was a setup. But we're like in the background going, yes, yes, keep talking to him.
Mimi and Papa paid this guy to come talk to us. And then people who lease cars, you know, sometimes leasing is a smart decision, especially if you have the ability to write it off because you've got some kind of a business and you can write it off that way. That sometimes makes sense. But, you know, you're talking to people right here who have bought used cars basically for the last almost 20 years. And we have done a lease. On one occasion, two occasions, they both turned out okay. We ended up buying the one car, so if you amortize that cost, you know, we kept it for 10 or 12 years, and so that worked out just fine. The other lease, we didn't lose that much money on, so it was okay, but we are definitely used car buying kind of people.
Yes.
So that probably taints our picture just a little bit.
But think about it. I mean, a couple of the used cars we've bought, like the last one, was the same model year, but it was used. So it wasn't like buying a car that was 15 or 20 years old. I mean, we were buying in its current model year, even though it was classified technically as a used car because it had been used by a salesman or as a demo.
That's true. And it had been one of the early ones that came off, and it had about 5,000 miles on it. And it had all the bells and whistles, which was the only reason we bought it.
Which is another thing about making sure that you're making a financial decision and not getting caught up in stuff that doesn't impact the bottom line
right.
because you're buying something.
Right. You know, there's a great verse in 1 John chapter 2. It says, verse 15 says, "Do not love the world, not the things of the world." And I think that really applies when you're buying cars, because it's easy to get caught up in loving the world and what the world does as far as cars are concerned. And only you can decide if a new or used car is the best choice for you or your family.
While buying a car can be a stressful task, it doesn't have to be. As long as you do your homework up front, think about it. Do I need used versus new? What are you willing to pay for? What are the options that you need versus the options that you want? Now, if you missed any of today's show, go to compasscatholic.org, click on Compass on the Radio, and you'll find a list of not only today's show, but shows that we've done over the past year. Now, let's get to a question from one of our listeners, John and Evelyn. Does delinquent medical debt affect your credit rating any differently or any less than a consumer debt, such as credit cards, or is all the debt looked at in the same manner?
Yes, past due medical bills definitely hurt your credit score because your credit score and your credit report measure the likelihood of you being able to pay your bills, and that's all bills, including medical bills.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Evelyn. Right to the point. If you have a question for John and Evelyn, maybe you need some help figuring out a financial challenge that you're going through, simply send your questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you join us again for Manage Your Money God's Way. From Compass Catholic Ministries, this is Breadbox Media.